What if Jesus were to come back today, or tonight, or right now? What kind of emotions does that question evoke in you? I think, and maybe this isn't the case for you, but I think for a lot of people, it's kind of an awkward question. Maybe something that they don't want to think about very much. In a lot of ways, the second coming of our Lord is kind of used as just a threat, or just to scare people. Is that what you want to be doing when Jesus comes back? It's used as sort of just a talisman to ward off bad behavior. But for Christians, it shouldn't be that way. The second coming of our Lord is not just a day that we hope that we're doing good on so that we can be with Him. It's something that we are to wait for expectantly and hoping for His return. Tonight I want to look at a parable that Jesus presented about His second coming. And I really love it because what it paints a picture of is the joy that can be have in His return. So if you would turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And I'm going to start reading in verse 35. We're going to read 35 through 40. Tonight I want to focus on the joy of His coming. Now, in a little bit later in this same chapter, Jesus does talk about the punishment that will come to those who aren't ready. But tonight, I want to look at verses 35 through 40. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. Whether he comes in the second watch or even in the third and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. You too, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. I just love the picture that this paints. The joy of His coming. Now the servants in this passage are actively waiting. Which is interesting, because usually when I think of waiting, it's more of a passive thing. But I don't think that it has to be. I think it just depends on the actions that you put into it. I really do think it has to do with your actions. If you are passively waiting, it doesn't require a whole lot of action. I imagined it to be the same as waiting for a bus. That doesn't require a whole lot of action. You can sit around, you can talk, you can chat, you can read a book, you can fall asleep. And it doesn't matter if there's anything distracting you from that thing that you're waiting for. If the bus eventually arrives, great. Just please make sure that I'm awake. Somebody who's actively waiting, it's different than that. Paints a whole different picture. That I imagine these servants who are waiting for their master, if you were to look at this picture and to visualize it, I imagine that the door is right here and the servants are right here. Their hands are right over the door handle, ready to swing that thing open. If they had peepholes back then, I imagine their eye is pressed up right against that thing, waiting for the master to come. So that if the master doesn't even have to knock, if when the master just comes up to the threshold, if he can throw that thing open before he knocks, even better. That's how ready they are. Do we have that kind of readiness, that anticipation, that expectation for our Lord to come? That we're not just sitting around hoping that we're doing okay whenever He comes, but we are dying for Him to come. We want Him to come so we can throw that thing open and be ready for Him. to serve him. I also notice that in this passage that having this active preparation did take a few actions beforehand. We see that the people, or the servants in this, were to be dressed in readiness. Literally, it is they are to have their loins girded. Now, a girdle was a belt. And the people back in these days, they would be ungirdled at home. But whenever they were getting ready to do any sort of service or task, or if they needed to be ready to go, then they would put that girdle on. They were to be, these servants were to be dressed for service. What does it look like for us to be dressed in service? What I thought about was the fruit of the Spirit that we read about in Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there are no law. Do we clothe ourselves with these things? Do we adorn ourselves with love, with joy, with peace? Do we wear patience every day? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Do we love wearing self-control? Do we wear those things that our Lord, whenever He returns, would love to see us wear? Because it is His Spirit that is the architect and the designer of these things. Do we wear the armor of God? In Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Are we dressed for readiness with all of these things? With truth, with righteousness, with the gospel, with the helmet of salvation, with the sword of the Word. And notice, Paul mentions has a little bit to say on readiness at the end of the scripture. He says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Do we clothe ourselves in prayer so that we can be close to God, so that we can know what He desires of us when He returns? The other thing that we see that these servants were expected to do in readiness were to keep their lamps lit. This was an interesting thing to think about for me. I guess when I thought about it, I've only been to a few what you would call wedding feasts in my life, but the ones that I've gone to, whenever I returned home, it was dark. We do not want our master to return to a dark house. We want to have those lamps lit for Him. And the things that we've talked about, faithfulness, self-control, righteousness, if we are wearing these things, if we are clothed in these things, then it truly is a lamp. And it shines bright in the house. And not just for our master, but for those who are living in the house that cannot find their way out of the darkness. They can't find their way to the door to be prepared for the master. They're still stuck in the darkness. They're wandering about the house. But if we have our lamps lit and ready, they can see. They can come to the door. They can be prepared for the master. I also thought about the fact that lamps, depending on how long the wait is, if you never tend it, they're going to go out. Whenever we clothe ourselves with these things, whenever we prepare ourselves with these things, whenever we do these things, it is not just a one-and-done thing. It is a constant relighting, a retending of our lamps so that we can make sure that when the Master comes, it is shining as bright as possible. And we don't know when that day is going to be. We don't know when the Master is coming. The Bible makes that very clear, that we are not aware when He's coming. Brother Zach had a very good class about this just a few weeks ago. But I find it interesting that people are so concerned with finding out when that day is. They will peruse the Scripture. They will study it. They'll study the book of Revelation till it's in their hearts, but they're not looking for righteousness. They're not looking for truth. They're not looking for their intent is not in the right place. They just want to know for their own curiosity when the end time is going to be. Is that helpful to us as Christians? Would it be helpful to us as Christians to know when that day was going to be? I don't think so. I really think it'd be a hindrance. When we are unsure of when that day is going to be, I guess I think about the fact that, at least I did, I don't want to make the generalization that people enjoy doing this, but I was always bad about getting ready for tests. I was really bad about it. I would wait until just a few days before the test, then I would get all that cramming in. And it can't be like that for us spiritually. We can't just, if we were to know the day that our time would end, I personally would probably just put it off until 3 days from that day and say, okay, I'm going to be righteous now. And it can't be that way. Because we don't know when our Lord is coming, all we can do is be prepared. And not just a preparation of outwardness, but a preparation of inwardness. We have to always be ready. We have to live this life. And that takes true preparation. That takes true dedication. I also wonder if we knew the day that we were going to be called, if that would hinder our growth. I guess I compare it to the difference between a house and a city. A house has a set limitation. It's going to be this big. A city doesn't have that. I think about Lubbock. It has just continued to grow and to grow and to bloat and to get bigger and to get bigger. And they're going to put up a second loop. And it just keeps getting big. And there's just no limitations on it. It's just going to keep getting big. And it's like that with us spiritually. There's no limitations. We don't have a set, okay, we have this long to be righteous. We just spend every day trying to be as righteous as we can, and because we don't know when that day is coming, we just try and try and try even harder with expectation for our Lord to come. And I find it so fantastic. I guess when I look at this passage, I find it so fantastic that these servants are not seeking the reward that they are going to get. They're just seeking to be servants. They're just waiting for the Master to come so that they can serve Him and just do what their duty is. But isn't the reward so great that they're given? If we look back, the blessed are those slaves whom the Master will find on the alert when He comes. Truly I say to you that He will gird Himself to serve and have them recline at the table, and will come up and wait on them. What if we spent every day waiting expectantly for our Lord to come just so that we can serve Him? What kind of heart would that make in us? What kind of servants would that make to each other? But I don't think that Jesus would mention the reward if it wasn't something for us to think about. And what a reward it is. What a day that's going to be when our Lord comes back. What joy we can take in that day. The coming of the Lord is not just, it's not something to be afraid of. For those that walk like we're supposed to, for those who are dressed for readiness, for those who are standing at the door waiting for their Lord to come, If anybody tonight needs anything, any prayers from the congregation, or if anybody needs to be baptized, we pray that you come forward. Always standing as we stand.